Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Miss Teresa. Don't forget, homecoming's coming up. We're getting excited about that and excited about what God's going to do during that day here at Sharon Baptist Church. So you begin praying for homecoming, praying for the preaching of the gospel during homecoming, pray for the special music that's going to be going on during that day, and then just ask the Lord to fill up the house of the Lord. Amen. And if you'll do that, we'll have a wonderful day. I just want to give you some numbers from the last week's Grace Giving Missions Conference. After numbers have been totaled up and reanalyzed, we come to this amount of this year's Grace Giving promise is $77,254. So we're excited about that. And remember now, if you have increased yours or added to it or whatever you have done, begins on the first, November the 1st. So Our mission year goes from November 1st to October 31st, so thank you for that. And then as we look at the rest of the giving, just under $3,000 was committed for our regular tithe offering here at Sharon Baptist Church. And let me just remind you that at a bare minimum, it takes about $3,500 as a bare minimum to get us through each and every week. And then we have committed $251.50 to the building program weekly, so we thank the Lord for that. Thank you for your faithfulness to the services. Thank you for the blessings that you were able to be to the missionaries. And I honestly can tell you this, they're still thankful, still talking about it, amen, and what a blessing it was to them. We'll take your Bibles this morning, and we'll turn to Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6, I'm going to continue with the series that I started just prior to our Grace Giving Conference, and that simply is this, stewardship maximizing God's blessing for His glory. And we'll have a message today that we'll finish up on next week, and then we'll be done with our stewardship month for Sharon Baptist Church. Over the past several weeks, I've enjoyed preaching and teaching on this idea of stewardship. And it's very obvious by the giving record of Sharon Baptist Church that many are beginning to practice what the Bible teaches about giving. And that's why I'm so anxious to share this message with you today. I want to give you a principle that's going to change your life. The same principle not only is going to change your life, but it's going to change our church. It's a principle of sowing and reaping. In other words, you might say this, the principle of the law of the harvest. In general terms, the principle of sowing and reaping is very simple. In Luke 6:38, it says, give, and it will be given unto you. In Galatians 6:7, it says this, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. I think we can basically state it this way, we reap what we sow, and we harvest what we have previously planted. In specific terms, this principle of sowing and reaping says this, when I go to the right source, and I am willing to sacrifice, my sacrifice will determine the return that God gives back to me. In Luke 6:38, the last part of that verse, the Bible says this, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Let me just explain that just a little bit more for you. Everything that you and I have is a gift from God, and He is the true source of every blessing. Let me help you, all the blessings that we have. James says this in the first chapter in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. So basically we can say this, we deserve nothing on our own merit. We can't earn anything. Well, we don't deserve it even if we could earn it. Understand this, that the Bible teaches over and over this another principle that there is a direct connection between good stewardship and a great return. God gives us the resources and the ability to invest. And for the most part, the return is up to us because it depends on how you and I invest. So don't hear me say that if you give generously to God, that God is going to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise, because that necessarily is not true. That's not a biblical statement. But do hear me when I say this, that if you'll be a faithful steward of what God has entrusted you with, God will, let me repeat that again, God will abundantly bless you. Maybe not dollar for dollar, maybe not exact amount of you put in for your tithes and offering and love gifts, but I can promise you this, that his return is always, let me repeat that, his return is always greater than your sacrifice. So let's stand as we read here in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. As we learn the principle of sowing and reaping this morning, the Bible says in Luke 6 and verse number 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Let's pray. Father, as we bow our heart and our knee before you this morning, God, I pray that you'll help us to understand this principle of sowing and reaping. Oh, Father, your word tells us that if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. But if we reap bountifully, Father, we'll reap bountifully. So, Father, I pray now that this great truth of sowing and reaping and sowing and receiving the harvest, Father, will be implanted deep into our heart today. Help us, Father, as born-again Christians, to understand this principle you have given to us. And Father, if there be someone here this morning who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that this might be the morning that they understand this, that they're lost, and they need Jesus Christ, that he alone is the way that has paved the way for them to be able to go to heaven by his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. So Father, would you save that one that's closest to hell this morning? Challenge us as believers in this area of sowing and reaping. So Lord, we love you and we thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Notice, first of all, this morning an explanation of this principle. Look at the text verse once again in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. Notice, when we give, Jesus promises that it shall be given unto us. You say, well, Pastor Dave, what shall be given to us? Whatever we need. Notice the wording. It says, it shall be given unto us. So whatever we need is promised will be given back to us. And the Greek text here in this passage makes this suggestion to you and I that we keep on giving and it will continually be given back to you and I. See, giving is a continual action. And as we continue to give, guess what? God promises that it will be given back unto us, that our needs are going to be continually met. You say, well, how will our needs be met? Notice, first of all, in the text, that they'll be met with good measure. So in other words, they'll be met with plenty. You know, God doesn't hand out any stingy blessings, you know. Oftentimes when we do something for someone, we do it with a good heart, and they want to pay you, you know, they say, well, here, let me give you a little something. I said, no, it's not necessary. They said, no, I want to give you something. And they give you something that's just a little meager amount. And listen, you're not knocking what they have done for you. You're not doing it to receive. But oftentimes, it's just a small little blessing. I want you to understand this, that God's blessings are not in a stingy manner. His blessings are bountiful. His blessings are good measure. Notice, secondly, that God's blessings will be pressed down, shaken together. You ever bought a box of cereal or a bag of nacho chips and you open it up and it looks like there's more air than there's chips? And even today, if you were to read the products, you would say, some settling occurs in shipment. And I thought, why? What a disclaimer that is. It's like the McDonald's coffee cup. It says, caution, coffee may be hot. Really? I didn't know that. Thank you very much for telling me that. But God said there'll be good measure. It'll be pressed down, shaken together. And then we find this, that Jesus is telling us that his blessings are going to be firmly packed down. Notice, thirdly, it's going to be good measure, pressed down, shaken together. But then the Bible says his blessings are going to be running over. They're so abundant that it's all you need, and some even to spare, amen. God promises that to you and I. And notice, fourthly, his blessings, notice what it says, will be put into your bosom. A.T. Robertson says this makes reference to a fold in the upper garment of the tunic that they used to wear in those days. And Jesus this day, that made a pocket. So really what he's saying, there's enough for right now, and you have a little bit left over for later on, amen. Isn't God surely good? So here's the heart of this principle. For with the same measure you meet, or in other words you use, it shall be measured to you again. So I don't know about you, but if you want a big blessing, you got to sow a big blessing. If you want to receive a small blessing, then you sow a small blessing. For what you sow is what you reap, and this is true in every aspect of our life. I continually hear stories about people who believe they are victims of life circumstances. I know you heard them. I've heard them. We all have heard them. But the truth of the matter is that much of the time, this is what's happening. They are really reaping now in proportion to what they sowed yesterday. Because God's law of the harvest, the law of reaping and sowing, is true. And it was true in the Old Testament days. It's true in the New Testament days. And it's true in the age of grace today. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. And it won't be up on the screen for you today. Galatians chapter number 6. And look in verses 7 through 9. Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9. We'll see a further explanation of the principle of sowing and reaping. Notice what the Bible says in Galatians 6, beginning verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Notice we're not to deceive ourselves, because God is never going to allow himself to be mocked. What a man sows, he will always reap. If a man sows to the flesh, if he ignores God and ignores his fellow man, and he lives only and solely for himself, the Bible said he'll reap corruption. Literally, that word corruption means decay, like a rotting corpse, or we could say roadkill on the side of the road. If he sows to the Spirit, in other words, if he honors God and remembers his fellow man and lives his life to please God, the Bible said he'll reap everlasting life. And this is a reference to the characteristic of one who's been saved by faith and not of works. Look at verse number 9. It reaffirms the principle of sowing and reaping. We're not to, Bible says, get this, grow weary. In other words, we're not to lose heart, but keep on doing good, keep on giving, and we'll reap those things in due seasons. You see, the time for reaping and that due season is up to God. It's not up to you and I. Turn back in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, and verse number 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 6. The Bible says in this verse, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 6, but I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So if we examine this verse, if we sow sparingly, guess what? We're going to reap sparingly. If we sow bountifully, guess what? We're going to reap bountifully. Our return depends upon the amount of our sacrifice. Sometimes I understand it's hard to sow bountifully. In Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let me illustrate this principle to you. There was a missionary by the name of Del Tar, and he served about 14 years as a missionary in West Africa. And he saw this principle lived out day in and day out, year after year. He said, I always was perplexed by Psalm 126 until I went to Sahel, that vast outstretch of the savanna just under the Sahara Desert. All the moisture comes in a four-month period, May, June, July, and August. After that, not a drop of rain for 8 months. The ground cracks with dryness, and so do your hands and feet. The year's food, of course, must all be grown in those 4 months. In October and November, the granaries are full from the harvest. People sing, they eat two meals a day, they dance, they have a wonderful time. December comes and the granaries start to recede. Many families omit the morning meal. By January, not one family in 50 is still eating two meals a day. By February, the evening meal diminishes. The meal shrinks even more during March, and children begin to succumb to sicknesses and diseases and illnesses. You can't stay well on a half of meal a day. April is a month that haunts my memory. In it, you hear babies crying in the twilight. Most of the days are passed with only an evening cup of gruel. Then inevitably it happens. A 6 or 7 year old boy comes running to his father with sudden excitement. "Daddy, Daddy, we got grain," he shouts. "Out in the hut, there's a leather sack. Daddy, there's grain in there. Would you please give it to Mommy so she can make flour? And tonight our tummies can sleep." The father says, "Son, we can't do that. That's next year's grain seed. It's the only thing between us and starvation. We're waiting for the rains and then we're going to use it, son." The rains finally arrive in May, and when they do, the young boy watches as his father takes the sack from the wall and does the most unreasonable thing and unimaginable. Instead of feeding the desperately weakened family, he goes to the field and with tears streaming down his face, he takes the precious seed and he throws it away. He scatters it in the dirt. Why? Because he believes in the law of the harvest. The seed is his. He owns it. He can do anything he wants to with it. The act of sowing it hurts so much that he begins to cry as he throws it out into the field. But as the African pastors say when they preach from Psalm 126, "Brothers and sisters, this is the law of the harvest. Don't expect to rejoice later on unless you're willing to sow in tears." Missionary Tar continues with this thought. "And I want to ask you, how much would it cost you to sow in tears? I don't mean just giving God something from your abundance, but finding a way to say, I believe in the harvest, and therefore I will give what makes no sense to me. The world would call me unreasonable to do this, but I must sow regardless in order that I might someday celebrate with songs of joy." Well, not only do we have an explanation of this principle of sowing and reaping, I want you to notice, secondly, some examples of this principle. Before we go any farther, I want you to write down three words to help you better understand the principle of sowing and reaping. If you have your bulletin, you can flip it over, take out a pen and a piece of and a bulletin and write these three words down, because we're going to keep repeating these three words and it will help you to understand this great principle of sowing and reaping. The first word, if you're writing down, is seed. That's the potential that God has given me and the potential that God has given you in every area of life. That's seed. The second word is sacrifice. What you have to give up to develop this potential, this seed that God has given you. The third one is harvest, and that's the return of the potential from the seed that God has given you. So let's apply these principles to our life to give you a better understanding of them. First of all, we'll apply the principle of sowing and reaping in this area of our friendships. Any acquaintance is a potential friend, so that relationship is the seed. Sacrifice comes in what you do with that relationship. Will you invest time and energy to make that friendship blossom in what you hoped it to be? If you do, guess what? You will harvest a close friend. The closeness of the friendship or the harvest is dependent upon what you put into that relationship, the sacrifice. In friendships, we reap what we sow. That's probably the same principle of sowing and reaping to our church membership. The seed is your membership within the local New Testament church. The sacrifice is the time and the energy and the resources you pour into your local New Testament church. The harvest is the blessings you receive from your local New Testament church. understand this, those who attend sporadically and have little or no involvement in the local New Testament church, give very little, guess what, will receive few blessings from their church membership. But on the other hand, those who are faithful in attendance, those who are dedicated in service and give sacrificially will receive bountiful blessings from the church. So let's look at the scripture and notice several examples of this principle of sowing and reaping, and it become as it becomes evident in our lives. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. I know typically we don't turn to a lot of passages on Sunday morning, but I believe this is so important that you and I need to not only hear these verses, but read them for yourself. Matthew chapter 9, we see the principle in the area of faith. At Matthew 9, beginning in verse number 27, down through verse number 30. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." Here in this passage, we see a blind man, and their need was to be healed. They cried out to the Lord, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon us." And Jesus simply looked at them and asked them this great question, "Believe ye that I'm able to do that?" And they said, "Yes, Lord, we believe that you can do this." And Jesus said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." You see, the seed was what was that Jesus was right near, right next to them. Their sacrifice was their faith in crying out to Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of other people that were there that day. They didn't receive a healing. At least it's not recorded for us in the Bible. And their harvest was being healed, as the Bible says, according to their faith. Over and over again in the Gospels, we see Jesus concerned not only with faith, but the size of the people's faith. And although faith itself is a gift of God, understand this, how we exercise that faith that God gives us determines our return or the harvest from that faith that we believe and trust Him. Turning your Bibles to 2 Kings, back in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter number 4. We find another principle, not only in the area of faith, but in the area of needs. 2 Kings chapter number 4. I'm going to begin reading because it's a rather long passage. You can catch up. 2 Kings 4, beginning verse number 1. "And there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." Verse 2. "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house, in the house?" And she said, "Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Verse 3. "Then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out unto all thy vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." Verse 5 says, "So she went from him and shut the doors upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, For there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go, sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." We see many of you are familiar with this story of the prophet's widow who was bankrupt, and the creditors had come to take her sons. And the only thing that she had in that whole house, she said, was just one lonely pot of oil. And Elisha told her, he said, "Listen, go borrow the vessels from abroad, from all thy neighbors." In other words, go everywhere and anywhere and get some empty vessels. He says, "Borrow not a few." In other words, he says, get as many as you can and bring them to your house. And when she began to pour the oil, went to the vessels. The oil didn't stop until the last vessel that she had was full. She was so intrigued. She said, listen, son, go get some more vessels. He said, there is no more. We have all the vessels. They're all full. And she was told to go sell and pay the debt. You see, her seed was the soil. Her sacrifice was her pride, where she had to humble herself and go and borrow vessels from family, friends, neighbors, and loved ones. And her harvest was a great supply of oil. Her sacrifice determined her harvest. We find this principle in the area of our relationships. Turn to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew 5 and verse number 23. This principle of sowing and reaping is found in the area of our relationships. Let's read Matthew 5 and verses 23 and verse number 24. The Bible says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother have aught against thee, leave there thy gift under the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come offer thy gift. You see, in chapter number 5, we find that Jesus is speaking about broken relationships with another brother or another sister in the Lord. Something has happened to make that relationship not what it ought to be. So we find here that the seed is remembering that thy brother has aught against thee. The sacrifice is setting aside your own feelings and going to the brother, facing the music, being reconciled to that brother or sister. And then the harvest is found in chapter 6 and verse number 14, where it says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also forgive you. So in a real sense, we could say this, that our intimate fellowship with God is based on some extent on our relationship with brothers and sisters that we come across each and every day. And if we have an unresolved problem in a horizontal relationship, that causes us to have a problem in our vertical relationship with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Boy, this principle of sowing and reaping can be applied to every area of our life. In Luke chapter number 11, verse number 5 through 13, we won't turn there for the sake of time, but we see this principle in the area of prayer as well. And here's a parable. In this parable, we find that the seed is the friend. And we find that in this passage of Scripture, without taking time to read all that, a man comes in and says, hey, I have a company showed up in the middle of the night. He said, do you have any bread? I need 3 loaves. And he kept knocking on the door, knocking on the door, knocking on the door, being persistent until he finally got the bread that he needed. So we find that he had already determined the size of his harvest. It was going to be 3 loaves. The sacrifice was that he had to keep knocking on the door. And in that passage, there's a word that's used, it's called importunity. In other words, it means he was persistent to face of all that seemed unreasonable. In other words, he refused to take a no for an answer. As he knocked on that guy's door, he said, listen, we're sleeping. My family's already in bed. Go away. Come back in the morning. But he kept knocking, and he kept knocking, and he was persistent. And the Bible said he used it with importunity. You see, the harvest is that man of the house rose up and gave him not just 3 loaves, but the Bible says as many as he needeth it. So we don't know whether he walked out with 12, 3, 6, or 10. I don't know, but God does know. Understand this, that this principle still applies to you and I today. Our prayer, our seed, is our relationship with Jesus Christ and God His Father. Persisting in prayer is the sacrifice. A deep abiding of relationship is the harvest that we have by that persistent prayer with God. And lastly, turn to Malachi chapter number 3, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter number 3, look at verses 8 through verse number 11. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 11. And notice this principle. This is the principle of sowing and reaping in the area of tithing. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 11. Verse 8 says, will a man rob God? I think that's what Dr. O'Malley said when he was referring to God robbers. When a man robbed God, yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Boy, you know, you don't ask God a question unless you really want to hear the answer, do you? Because he has all the answers and knows all the questions, right? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that shall be no room enough to receive it. We find in this passage of Scripture the seed is the material blessings that God has given to me and he's given to you as well. The sacrifice is the practice of tithing, not only that first 10%, but offerings as God has commanded. The harvest is when we are obedient and God promises. Notice what he says, open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall be no room enough to receive it. Boy. Talking about blessings coming from God the Father. Well, so far we've seen the explanation of the principle of sowing and reaping. We saw some examples of this principle. And notice quickly, lastly, some personal applications of this principle. Notice, first of all, the principle of sowing and reaping will work in every area of our life. The principle works in Sharon Baptist Church. What we sow in our ministry, guess what? We're going to reap in our ministry. If you want a mediocre church, guess what? Put forth a mediocre effort, and that's the kind of church we'll have here at Sharon Baptist Church. But, and I pray it is, if you want a great church, guess what you're going to have to do? Put in a great effort, a good effort, to give God honor and glory. This principle works in our church. This principle also works in our marriages. And if we sow the time and dedication, guess what? You will have a great marriage. But you know what? Most people and most couples aren't willing to do that. And that's why we have such a high divorce rate. And that's why there's so much adultery and fornication going on today. Because people are not willing to sow into their marriages. And the trouble with some marriages is that they put in effort or they sow before they get married so they can hook someone to be married. But after they're married, guess what? They stop sacrificing and they stop giving. So guess what? There's no harvest coming back to them. Well, principle works in our church. It works in our marriages. It also works with our children. You know, if you put time and attention and concern into your children, guess what? Generally, you'll get a blessing back in return. The principle works in our relationship with God the Father. And we put personal time in our Bible study, our prayer and meditation. And guess what? Our spiritual man will continue to grow, but without these, we'll dry up. And we become ineffective for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the principle of sowing and reaping works in every area of life, but then something else. If you want to get something out of life, you're going to have to put something in it. If you don't put something into your life, you're not going to get anything out of it. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So I'm going to ask you this question, but don't answer it outwardly. I want you to answer on the inward part of your heart. Here's the question. Does the truth make you free? Answer that in your heart. I'm going to tell you what the answer is because I love you. The answer is no, it does not. Truth is truth, whether you're free or not. It's not just knowing the truth that sets you free. It's applying the truth that sets you free. I've given you truth today, so hopefully you know the truth, but you have to apply that truth of sowing and reaping if you want to be set free. See, a lot of the times we get the cart before the horse. We say, God, boy, if you'll give me $5 million, God, I will tithe 10%. Back to you. I can promise you that. And God says, oh, really? I can't trust you with $10 giving $1. How am I going to trust you with $5 million to give $500,000? God says, no. He said, first give to me. He said, give to me first. And he said, then I'll meet all your needs. We say, God, if you'll take care of me, I'll serve you all the days of my life. God says, no. If you'll serve me, I'll meet all your needs. We say, God, I'll obey you if you promise to bless me. God says, no, if you obey me, I will bless you. That's my promise to you. Let me give you one last illustration, and then I'll close. A young mother was taking a course in sociology, and the course was, the class was assigned to go out and smile at least 3 different people and document their reaction. I mean, look at them and just smile and document their reactions. The next day, she and her family were at McDonald's, a very cold, wintry, blusterly day, and she writes, we were standing in line waiting to be served, when all of a sudden, everyone around us began to back away. Then even my husband began to back away. I didn't move an inch. An overwhelming feeling of panic welled up inside of me as I turned to see why my husband and the people in line had moved. As I turned around, I smelled a terrible, horrible body smell. And then standing behind me were 2 poor homeless men. One of them smiled up at me, looking for acceptance. The second man fumbled with his hands, obviously mentally deficient and totally dependent upon his friend. They had a handful of coins and only bought a cup of coffee because that is all they could afford. You see, a sign said they had to buy something if they were able to sit down and get warm. Acting on impulse, I bought 2 extra breakfasts and took them to the table where the men sat down. I put the tray on the table and laid my hand on the blue-eyed gentleman's cold hand. He looked up at me with tears in his eyes and said, thank you. I leaned over, began to pat his hand and said, I didn't do this for you. God is here working through me to give you hope. That young mother then wrote, we must learn to love people and use things, not use people and love things. I think the lesson is quite simple. We sow, we reap. What we put in, we get out. And the question that I ask for you this morning is, what are you putting in? You see, this principle of sowing and reaping involves both seed and involves sacrifice, which will always result in some form of a harvest. If you want something out of this life, guess what? You have to put something into this life. It works in every area of our lives, just not in the financial realms as far as giving. I wonder this morning, are you willing to sow the seed? I wonder if you're willing to endure the sacrifice as that African, South African father was to obtain a great harvest in a future day. I pray that you are. I'm asking that you will. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Lord, for this precious truth found in this psalm. So many times, Father, we hear those words, reaping and sowing, and although we believe we do understand it, Father, we truly, really don't have a good grasp of all that it means. And I pray that some small way this morning that these people that have gathered here today would have a greater understanding of this principle of sowing and reaping. Father, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of those that are here. Challenge them, Father. Help them to understand and to ask themselves this question, am I willing to do what the scriptures have said? Am I willing to sow the seed? Am I willing to endure the sacrifice to obtain a great harvest? Oh, Father, speak to that one that could be here this morning, has never trusted in Christ as their own personal Savior. Oh, Father, they're on the road to condemnation. They're on the road to hell. And Father, whether they realize it or understand it this morning, Father, unless they repent of their sinfulness and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, oh Father, they'll split hell wide open when they leave this earth. Oh Father, save the lost. Save that one that's closest to hell this morning. And Lord, when we're all said and done, we'll give you praise and honor and glory for it. For it's in Christ's name. Let's stand to our feet, please, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around this morning. I wonder, what has God chosen to speak to your heart about? Has He chosen to speak to you about the law of sowing and reaping, the law of the harvest? Maybe it's not in financial matters. Maybe it's about other areas of your life. We saw that this principle from the message this morning is not just about finances and money. It's about everything, our marriages, our family, and our churches. It encompasses all that we are. Maybe God wants to do something in your heart. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. You're concerned about that fact. You don't know if you were to die right now, if you'd be in heaven or if you'd be in hell or where you'd be. I wonder if you would just step out of the pew where you're at and come, let us take the Bible, God's Word, and show us how that you might be saved. Enter into a wonderful, joyful relationship with Jesus Christ and His Father. Would you come right now? While these are praying, there's still opportunity and time for you. Sacrifice. That sacrifice will lead to a harvest. Amen. Well, God bless you. May you look this way. Thank you for coming, being faithful to the services at Sharon Baptist Church, which in turn means your faithfulness to the Lord. Amen. Look forward to seeing you back tonight.